Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Special Edition, a weekly look at the issues in the news and the personalities shaping the stories. Special Edition is a production of Intercom Communications.
Welcome to Special Edition. I'm Paula Degnan. Who says there's nothing to do? We'll tell you about some of the events coming up during our program today. One of them is on April 28th. It's to help find a cure for SIDS. There's a walk. We'll tell you where and when. We're also going to be finding out about community health centers that are in our area when we talk with the statewide director. The Lackawanna and Luzerne County Medical Societies have things coming up for you to enjoy and learn about health this coming summer. If you'd like to attend a theater production, we have one for you. It has a bit of a twist on a show that you may be very familiar with. But first, we're going to start with Kyle Pelkey. He is a person who stutters and a speech-language pathologist. At Misericordia University this week, they're going to be showing a documentary on stuttering, and Kyle has the details. Why is it important that people have a focus on others who may stutter?
Well, Paula, growing up as someone who stutters and continuing to stutter now, even as an adult, it seems as though this thing and this condition is so often misunderstood, and there's so many myths that seem to follow it. Even as myself, as a person who stutters, and other people who stutter that I've met, we seem to at times not even understand this, and maybe why that certain times talking is more difficult, like maybe ordering food at a restaurant, or introducing ourselves, or simply stating our name. Why is it that these moments are so difficult? At other moments, talking is really easy. So it's important that we come to understand what stuttering really is, what it is not. And for listeners to understand that the best thing you could do is treat people who stutter just like you would treat anybody else and just give them time to talk and really just say what it is they want to say.
So what is stuttering then, Kyle?
You know, that is a great question, and I'm not sure that there's one answer. Dr. Glenn Tellis and Dr. Kathy Taylor-Scott are two board-certified fluency specialists, which there's only about 150 of those in the whole country. And they're going to be at Misericordia at this event, so they could do a much better job explaining everything about what stuttering really is. But basically what stuttering is a complex multifactorial disorder or condition that usually arises in childhood, right about the time when language starts exploding, so about 3 years old. And then we see it typically about 80% of the time in preschool children, the child will what we call spontaneously recover or outgrow it. And about the other 20% of the time, that's going to last into adulthood as it did for me. And so with stuttering, we often see people, especially as we develop and get older, doing things to avoid stuttering. So we might put in all of this extra stuff on top of it. So our speaking pattern might have a block like that where we're really trying not to stutter, right? Because oftentimes it could be very, very difficult.
What is the event now, Kyle? You mentioned something coming to Misericordia University, and it has to do with stuttering.
That's right. At Misericordia, on Tuesday, April 16th, in Sulaco, room 218 and 219, at 7 o'clock p.m., there's an event. It's actually a screening of a new documentary called When I Stutter. The documentary highlights the lives of 19 individuals who stutter, and it also seeks to educate throughout it about what stuttering really is, and really show the humanity behind this often mysterious condition.
I know a lot of times when people are meeting someone who stutters for the first time, they may take it as, well, don't be so nervous. But right. Is that what you were talking about before when you said it'll happen at some times maybe and other times not? Does anything like that play into it?
That's right. I know for me personally, ordering food at restaurants or, introducing myself still remains a challenge, and people often wonder, well, it's really nerves, right? So you stutter because you're nervous, and that's one of actually the myths about it is, well, that's not true, that is not a cause. However, we do know that there are things that could contribute to our stuttering or how difficult talking is in that moment, and so we know things like, well, maybe a little bit of an increase anxiety or nervousness in this moment might cause us to stutter more, but that is not the true root cause of a person who stutters, right? So I think this event is going to seek to debunk a lot of those myths about it.
Kyle, I think you've debunked a lot of the myths about it just during our discussion here, because at the very beginning, you said that you have had a stutter since childhood.
That's right. And talking is pretty easy for myself right now. What's fascinating to me, and I've gotten to meet hundreds of people who stutter in the last few years of my life, and the variability of this condition is something that still fascinates me on a daily basis. I have days when talking is easier and days when it's harder. And a lot of the people who stutter that I know also say that too, even certain speaking situations or just a day in general might be more difficult than other days. So it's really an interesting thing.
And you also went into the speech profession?
That's correct. Right now, I am a speech-language pathologist in my clinical fellowship year. I graduated last May from Misericordia.
And that's how you got involved. Now, are you one of the members of the 19 involved in this particular documentary?
I am not. The 19 individuals in this come from all walks of life, come from all different professions, backgrounds. There are even members of those 19 individuals who are really experts on stuttering and have their PhD in fluency disorders. So it's just a really great documentary.
And where and when is it happening again, and does it cost anything to get in?
Sure, Paul. Well, the great thing is it does not cost anything, which is wonderful, right? It is on Tuesday, April 16th at Misericordia at 7 o'clock p.m. We are screening it in Sulaco Hall, room 218 and 219. The screening itself takes about an hour, and after that, we're having a discussion panel with, as I mentioned earlier, board-certified fluency specialists, Dr. Glenn Tellis and Dr. Kathy Taylor-Scott, who are really experts in this area. So if anybody is listening who stutters himself or knows a person who stutters, I think this event would really be interesting to just come and learn more about what is this condition that often is so misunderstood.
Thanks again to Kyle Pelkey for giving us the details about the upcoming documentary that will be shown on the campus of Misericordia University this coming Tuesday evening, April 16th. On April 28th, it's going to be a day of fun for families who are trying to raise money and awareness of SIDS, Sudden Infant Death Syndrome. Intercom's Webster and Nancy spoke with Greg Zayak. He's going to tell us about the 5th annual Jog for Jude at the Dunmore Community Center.
First of all, I will mention the Jog for Jude 5K run and walk to stomp out SIDS is going to be taking place. But we want to talk to Greg is with us.
Yep.
Hey.
Good morning.
Greg Zayak, thanks for being with us this morning. And we're so sorry for your loss.
Oh, thank you.
Obviously, Jog for Jude is about Jude. So if you want to just tell us a little bit about Jude and you know, how this all began.
Yeah, so Jude is me and my wife Theo, our second son. He was born April 19th, 2014, and he passed away at 3 months old in June of 2014 from sudden infant death syndrome, commonly referred to as SIDS, which is the number one cause of death in children 1 month to 1 year in the United States.
So you obviously wanted to do something in his memory, and this is something that raises funds to try to find out how can we how can we prevent this tragedy from happening? And it does, as you mentioned, his age. Can you tell us a little bit about SIDS and you know, when it's most likely to strike?
Yeah, so it's most likely to strike between 2 months and 4 months. Unfortunately, not a lot is known about SIDS at this point. Boston Children's Hospital, who we partner with, and Robert's program specifically, they have done a lot of research, and they've kind of narrowed it down to a certain few things in the brainstem, melatonin levels or serotonin levels. So they're developing that theory, and the lead researcher from Boston Children's Hospital, Dr. Robert Goldstein, who will actually be in Dunmore for the race this year on April 28th. So we're excited to have him with us this year.
Obviously, through the years, you hear about SIDS. I think it's more likely to strike boys as well than girls.
Yep.
Not that it doesn't happen to girls either. But there's I'm looking at this in two different ways. You've got you're raising money because you want to find out, obviously, how is this physiologically happening. On the other hand, we also try to give awareness to folks because there are some things that it seems are better to do to try to prevent this from happening while we're trying to find out why it's happening.
Right. So they call it the ABCs of sleeping: always on your back, always in your crib, and always alone. So every single time at nap time and nighttime. So those are a few of the things that are kind of the keys for safe sleep for babies. And like you said, the foundation is about awareness. So it's a big day for us.
Well, I'm looking at some of the stats here, and it says that SIDS claims over 2,000 babies every year on average, which is that's a stunning amount. And the race that is scheduled, obviously the fundraiser. Where exactly does the money go in terms of it breaks down how?
So it's a good question. 2/3 of the net money we receive goes to Robert's program at Boston Children's Hospital towards the research, and 1/3 of it stays in our community and goes to St. Joseph's Center Baby Pantry in Dunmore. So the Baby Pantry serves so many families that are in need of the basics in life, especially children. So diapers, clothing, food, formula. So that's kind of the breakdown of where it goes.
Where it goes. And we want to let people know, obviously, about the races, as we were mentioning earlier. It's Sunday, April the 28th, and it's going on at the Dunmore Community Center. How can people get involved in that?
So you could sign up via our Facebook page, Jude Zayach Foundation. You can sign up on our website, judezayachfoundation.com.
And let's spell that for them just so people know. It's J-U-D-E-Z-A-Y-A-C.
Correct.
Okay. judezayachfoundation.com.
Yep. Yep.
And they can get involved that way,
correct.
Which is getting larger and larger every year. I'm trying to see how many people do you get involved in this? Because you also do basket raffles and all
that. Yeah. So we don't necessarily market it this way but it's so much more than a 5K. It's easy to say that mm-hmm. it's 5K, but there's stuff for kids. So there's bounce houses, there's slides, there's face painting, there's food, there's drinks, there's all kinds of energy. We have all different mascots come together, and they do a short little race against each other, which the kids love cheering on their favorite mascot.
And it's a 5K run-walk, so you don't have to be a marathon runner in order to get involved with this, right? I mean, you can. It's a walk, and you can enjoy a stroll and help out, too.
Exactly. Yeah. You'll have families that'll, you know, with their kids in the stroller, and we also have a one-mile course so that they can walk that. You have your serious runners. You have kids who are trying to, you know, race their buddies and that sort of thing.
It's just a great day for families to come on out. All right, again, you can go to Jude Zayach Foundation. That's J-U-D-E-Z-A-Y-A-C foundation.com. Also, if you just look for Jog for Jude, that's how I also found you guys on Facebook. We'll share the page as well on our Facebook page, and hopefully people will get involved.
Yeah.
And we can combat this, and hopefully they can find out what is causing it as well so that we can just stop it. It's just so tragic. We're so sorry again.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Mark the calendar once again, the Jog for Jude, the fifth annual event coming up on Sunday, April 28th. Now don't go away. More special edition to come. And in our next segment, we'll find out what the Lackawanna and Luzerne County Medical Societies have coming up for you this summer. And we'll talk to the statewide director for outreach and enrollment for the Pennsylvania Association of Community Health Centers. Don't go away. Welcome back to Special Edition. The Lackawanna and Luzerne County Medical Societies have great information about being healthy. They're trying to get that information to you in the community. Tanya Verkaitis is the executive director. She's here to tell us about some upcoming programs where you can get all the info. Tell us what you have going on and where we're going to find you.
Well, on June 7th, we're partnering with First Friday to do our annual First Friday Scranton Health Fair. It happens on Courthouse Square. We start at 4:30 and go till 7:30. Have lots of health screenings. There's raffle baskets, fun activities for the kids. It's a good time.
It sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun. Now, when you say that there are health screenings,
mm-hmm.
what exactly are we looking at?
We're looking at blood pressure screenings. There may even be some cholesterol lipid screenings. I still have people signing up, so I don't know who all will attend. We do have a sponsorship from DPHO's pharmacy, so they'll be there to talk to you about medications. The ambulance authority always participates, so kids can go into the ambulance, but they also talk about what they do. And this year, we're partnering with the Lackawanna County Arts and Culture Department to do a little bit of fun health. They're doing a hopscotch. I don't think we'll call it a competition, but artists can sign up to participate. They'll fund you, and then you draw giant hopscotch squares all around the block, and people can do hopscotch.
Oh, that sounds cool.
I think it's going to be really cool.
Yeah, well, you'll have to have, you said some of the ambulance people mm-hmm. will be there so that when we have to hop on one leg.
If we hurt ourselves.
Yeah. So we'll have to be careful with that one. Now, that is, you are both Lackawanna and Luzerne
Correct.
County Medical Societies.
Correct.
So is it one big everybody kind of gets along? Because even though you're in Lackawanna County, do you have maybe some folks from Luzerne who might take part?
They'll definitely participate. And I always invite any healthcare providers from both counties to participate in all of our events. And you will see chiropractors and hospice folks and the health departments from both cities participating in both events.
So if someone, and we do have a little bit of time, because you mm-hmm. said this, the first Friday is June 7th.
Correct.
Do you have a way for people to get in touch with you if they're hearing this and think, oh, gee, I think I'd like to do that?
Definitely. The best thing to do would probably be to email me. That's info, I-N-F-O, at Luzerne Med Soc. That's M as in Mary, E-D as in David, S as in Sarah, O-C as in Cat, short for Medical Society. Ah. But that would be the best place to reach me, .org.
Okay, .org. Well, we're talking about the happenings in Lackawanna County now. Again, we're your bi-countyists.
I am.
So you're dealing with Luzerne County as well. And Luzerne County, you're actually going to be busy all summer.
Yes.
How much fun is that?
It is a lot of fun. This is the third year we're partnering with the City Health Department on what we call Mondays at the Market. And it is a health fair that happens starting July 8th through August 19th. There's a mini farmers market, not quite the same as Thursdays down there, but we run from 11 to 2. The difference there is that the healthcare providers are rotating during the time that we're there. And we also have CEO participating making healthy snacks each week, which is nice. And then we have theme days all summer long.
Do you have a couple of things that you can tell us about that you've done in the past that maybe, since you said this will be your third year, maybe people are hearing this and saying, oh, I hope they bring back
yes.
that.
Well, the two biggest days, I think, are our kickoff, which is a kids' day. We give away bike helmets. We show them how to size them properly for the kids. We'll have a magician. We'll have live radio broadcasts, that sort of thing. The last day is always back to school, and we give away backpacks. Last year, my daughters actually did henna tattoos for kids. We had the Binghamton Zoo there. So those are the two biggest days, July 8th and August 19th. In between, we have International Day, Health Screening Day, things like that.
When we're talking about all of the different things that you're going to be involved with then over the summer, for anybody who hasn't been there, maybe there are people new to the area and they're hearing this and they're thinking, well, gee, I'd like to go. So when is it? Where is it? And you said when you start it and when you finish. So it's every Monday?
Every Monday, 11 to 2 p.m., right on Public Square. We take up the whole center of the square, so you'll see the tents and the food vendors and such. They can find more information most easily on the City Health Department page because they post regularly. It'll be on our Facebook page as well, the Luzerne County Medical Society, but those are the best places to look.
It seems as though, again, when we're talking about these things, people are saying, wait, this is July. No, give me a break. Good. We're not there yet. But these things take a little bit of time
yes.
to put together.
Yes.
And again, you're still accepting people who might want to come and be a part of it?
Yes, for both. So if you email me at info@luzernemedsoc.org, I can send you the links to sign up. For the Scranton First Friday Health Fair, there is a nominal fee. It is pretty small. For the Mondays at the Market in Wilkes-Barre, that's free to anyone that would like to come and be a health fair participant.
Why did the medical societies feel it was a good idea or even necessary to get involved in these things?
Well, community health is definitely one of our focuses, and anything that we can do to make our communities more healthy, we're happy to do. And especially with these health fairs, because a lot of times people may think, I don't need to go to the doctor. I feel fine. But if you're walking around on a Monday and you happen to see someone doing a blood pressure screening, maybe you'll stop and have that done. And you may find out something you don't like. We hope you don't, but at least it's there for people to participate.
A lot of times people, too, can be a little bit standoffish mm-hmm. when it comes to healthcare. Do you think this maybe starts to break down some barriers?
Definitely, because it's fun. You don't have that fear of, oh, I'm going to get bad news. You might win a raffle basket, which is a nice addition as yeah. well. But they just make it light and easy and share information. So you don't have to participate in a screening, but at least you might learn some telltale signs. And then you might say to yourself, oh, I think I noticed that symptom within myself. And then maybe you'll go to your doctor or maybe you'll stop for a screening.
So that's another good reason why, again, every Monday, it's right during yep. lunch hour. Because you must be getting some pretty good crowds if this is your third year.
Definitely. The kids' days, as I said, are the busiest because obviously the kids come out with their grandparents and such. But we do get that downtown crowd that's coming out for lunch, which is part of the reason why we have food vendors, because we know that they'll be looking for something for lunch. And if we can offer some healthy options, that's nice too.
When you're talking about, you mentioned Facebook pages,
mm-hmm.
and you have a Facebook page.
We do.
So if there's somebody who is listening, maybe mm-hmm. not a medical professional, but someone who would like who might be going down there. What if they have some suggestions?
We would love suggestions. I'm always looking for something new that we can add to make it more fun. Again, as I said, it's not just about health, but also fun. And how can being healthy be fun? Especially for the First Friday, because we do have a little bit of that artistic bend, right? Because it's happening on First Friday. So musicians we've had before, I'm looking for hula hoopers.
Hula hoopers?
And yes. If someone wants to come out and teach people how to hula hoop, that would be great. So please contact us.
Yoga?
We had yoga last year. We'll probably have yoga again this year. I also have someone coming from Bear Creek Organics, which is a little different because he brings edible landscaping with him. And he can talk to you about different things you can put in your yard that are edible. And I believe he's going to give away clippings as well.
Wow.
Yeah, very cool.
And all this information is available
on our page, Lackawanna Medical Society. Lackawanna County Medical Society, and that's on Facebook. I'm just now starting to post some of the people that are participating, but you'll already find information about the hopscotch, for instance, if you're interested in being an artist.
How much fun is that?
It's going to be a lot of fun.
Do you also have the opportunity to partner with maybe even the medical college? Is that one of those things?
Yeah, they have sent students down to do screenings. And actually, we're definitely having students from Penn State this year that will be doing blood pressure screenings. So we do get the students as well. And we get pharmacy students from Wilkes that help out as well.
That's great. Does the same thing happen at the on the square in Wilkes-Barre too?
Yes.
Everybody comes out, and that's wonderful that everybody, you know, kind of gets together and just. And what about during the year? As far as I know, the last time that we talked to you here, you were doing some different programs where do you still have those kind of things going on too?
We do have things going on year round. They change every year. We try to offer as much to the community as possible. And what we try to do is see what is affecting the community right now, and then develop programs around that. So, we actually just last night decided that in the fall, we do a medical legal summit, and we do invite the public to that. And this year, it's going to be on immunizations and vaccines, which I think will be extremely interesting.
Oh, that's been an awful lot about that in the news. There are so many different things that you have coming up. We have to have you back again.
Oh, thanks.
So again, let's get everybody on the same page.
Right.
What do you have coming in Scranton? Where and when?
That is June 7th, the First Friday Scranton Health Fair, from 4:30 to 7:30, right on Courthouse Square. You can't miss us. There'll be tents everywhere.
All right. And then you move to Luzerne County starting in July.
Yes, July 8th through August 19th, every Monday, 11 to 2 p.m., Mondays at the market.
And that's going to be right on
Public Square
in Wilkes-Barre. And if anyone would like to get in touch with you, ask a question, make a suggestion, just get some more details, how do they do that?
Email is always best because I'm always on the road, so I may not answer the phone. That is info@luzernemedsoc.org.
And you also have Facebook?
We do have Facebook. And there's two separate pages if you're looking. So one for Lackawanna County Medical Society and one for Luzerne County Medical Society. But they'll be listed under events on both.
But just remember, you're ambicountious.
Yes.
So if anybody has to get in touch with you, you're all set and ready to go.
Yeah, we're good to go.
We'll have Tanya back again in the near future to give us more updates as those events get closer. Now it's time to meet Tia Whitaker. She is the statewide director of outreach and enrollment for the Pennsylvania Association of Community Health Centers. We have community health centers in our area. If you've never had the opportunity to check one out, Tia will give us all the information so that you'll know where they are and exactly what they offer. In the introduction, Tia, we have you as the outreach and enrollment statewide director for the Pennsylvania Association of Community Health Centers. Can you give us a little bit of a background on that as far as what they are, where they are, and who they would be accommodating?
So community health centers are recognized by their ability and their willingness to provide comprehensive, affordable, quality health care for all who come through the doors. We have over 300 sites in 52 out of Pennsylvania's 67 counties. Our doors are open to everyone, and folks are assessed on their ability to pay, and they are also available and open for folks to receive quality primary health care by highly competent health care professionals. And we're also community-governed and patient-centered organizations.
Can you go into a little bit more depth, Tia? Because when it comes to health care, people get so confused whether they have health insurance in the workplace, whether they have Medicare, whether they have, no matter what they have. So what you're talking about, would it be geared to people with insurance, without insurance, minimum insurance? It gets so confusing, Tia.
It does, and our community health centers are not quote-unquote free clinics. We accept all patients regardless of their insurance or financial status. We're federally supported and federally supported program, which allows for us to offer a wide range of health care services to patients, whether they have insurance or whether they don't. And there are different options for folks to be able to pay for services as well.
What would some of those options be?
So Medicare, Medicaid, coverage through the health insurance marketplace, private insurance, employer-based coverage, and also we have what's called sliding fees, and that's based on folks' income.
So again, would that be something that a person who has insurance through their employer might consider going to?
Absolutely. Our doors are open to everyone again, regardless of their ability to pay, whether they have insurance or whether they don't.
I guess one of the biggest things, too, that a lot of people now don't have primary care physicians because they don't seem to need to rely on them or they don't think they have to. So how does the community health center kind of get over that and get to the fact that people do need to come and see someone on a regular basis?
Well, we, of course, get our information out into the community to let folks know you do need primary care. You do need a primary care physician. You do need health services that are performed by qualified professional teams, doctors, dentists, nurses. We also provide behavioral health services. There's so many things that are offered inside community health centers. And regardless of whether folks think they need primary care, we're seeing in our communities now preventative care is also a big factor. You want to head off things before they get too bad or before you end up in the ER. So scheduling an appointment with a primary care physician does wonders for folks, and we have lots of folks who have said, you know, I'm so glad that I was able to get to a primary care physician. I didn't think I needed one before, but now, you know, I may have been diagnosed with, you know, some type of ailment, and I now have someone I can rely on a regular basis to help me and to educate me as to how to take better care of myself.
So it almost sounds as though the idea with the community health center is to get people in to get good health care. But is it possible that the problem that you run into is that people aren't aware that these types of places exist and they may be looking at them as in, well, that's not for me because it might not take care of everything that I need done in my life?
Well, we see that there is a time where we have run into folks who have not known about our community health centers. And we have over 300 sites in 52 out of the 67 counties in Pennsylvania. And we, of course, do our best to get the word out there. We work and we partner with other agencies within the community so that they have our information and are able to pass that information along to people who they come in contact with. We want to make sure that folks know about community health centers our mission, our services, what we stand for, and again, the fact that the doors are open to everyone.
Now, since we're here in the Northeast, I believe you have centers that are available in Wilkes-Barre, in Scranton, and in Kingston?
We do. Scranton Primary Health Care, NEPA Community Health Center, and Wayne Memorial are in the Wilkes-Barre, Scranton, Hazleton, Lackawanna area, and their doors are open as well. If folks have questions or they want to get in contact with those health centers, they can go to our website, which is www.pachc.org, or they can call us toll-free at 1-866-944-2273.
And Tia, do you have anything that maybe I haven't touched on that you would like to make sure our listeners know about the healthcare centers, especially in our area?
Well, healthcare centers have staff, like I said, who are professional and who are qualified to assist in so many different ways. One of the things that we do is we also assist people with getting coverage, whether it's the marketplace, Medicaid, CHIP, Medicare. We have those resources available, and we also educate consumers on, once they get health care coverage, what they need to do with it after they actually get their card. They need to confirm their coverage. They need to know where they can go to get answers. They need to find and choose a provider, make an appointment, fill their prescription, and sit down with someone and ask them those tough questions they might be afraid to ask in other settings. So there are staff who are available. Sit down with folks to answer those questions.
Can you give us one more time the website, the locations in our area, and the phone number?
Sure. www.pachc.org. And the health centers that are in your area are Scranton Primary Health, NEPA Community Health Center, Wayne Memorial Health Center, and those are in Scranton, Wilkes-Barre, Hazleton, and the Lackawanna area. Our toll-free number, again, is 1-866-944-2273, and we're more than willing to assist folks with finding a health center.
Thanks again to Tia Whitaker, Statewide Director, Outreach and Enrollment with the Pennsylvania Association of Community Health Centers. Don't go away. A little sneak peek, a preview, if you will, of what's coming up at the Phoenix Performing Arts Center this weekend and the weekend of 26, 27, and 28th of April on Special Edition. Next on Special Edition, you know it, you may, like me, enjoy seeing the performances. But this time, it's a little bit different. We're going to introduce you to the director and one of the members of the cast of the upcoming performance of Jesus Christ Superstar. I have with me two ladies who are involved in the upcoming performance of Jesus Christ Superstar. And one is the director. I am just so excited. Lee, come on up here. You are the director.
Yes.
Tell us about, first of all, where is this happening?
At the Phoenix Performing Arts Center in Duryea.
Jesus Christ Superstar, one of my favorites, has been around for a long time. But tell our listeners today, what is the difference in your production rather than all of the others that anyone has probably ever seen?
We are supporting an entire female cast.
How are you doing that?
We're doing it.
Wow.
With amazing, amazingly talented women.
Whatever gave you the idea to bring this, first of all, and then give it that, oh, here's something different?
Well, Jesus Christ Superstar is always usually done around Easter holiday.
Right.
Most of the companies, you know, jump right in there and take over, and we very rarely take a chance. We don't like to compete. So this year, nobody was doing it. That's why we grabbed it. And our twist with the female cast came from a few years back. There was an all-female concert done of Jesus Christ Superstar.
Around here?
No, it was not. It's up on YouTube, and one of my people at Phoenix got the idea. My musical director, Jen Johnson Hamer, she goes, why don't you do all female? And I was like, okay.
Wow.
So here we are.
Now that you're doing this, what have you run into? Because again, there's nothing written anywhere that said that it had to be male.
No.
So what have you run into now that you're telling people we're doing Jesus Christ Superstar, but they're all female?
We are doing it exactly the way it was written. The biggest problem is, of course, the vocals. They're written for male. Some of them are very low. We did have to transpose a couple of the songs, but for the most part, these women are carrying it with a wide range and talented beyond belief. Playing a male, most women have a bucket list of a male role they'd love to play. Mm. Well, all these females are just jumping right in on that.
When you go back to the Ted Neely version, and he's in Gethsemane, and he hits those high notes.
Yes.
So who is Jesus?
Our Jesus is Kate Mangan. She's the director at Wyoming Area Drama Club. Yes, she just got done coming out of a run of Mamma Mia.
Absolutely.
Yes.
That's, my nephew was in that, as
yes.
a matter of fact.
Well, their director, so, Kate, is our Jesus.
I'm going to have you just step over to the side, okay, because we're bringing in Judas. I can't believe that Michelle Riley is playing Judas.
I can't either. No.
What did you think about this?
Well, you know, this all started because the Phoenix Theater was my project, my group project with Wilkes-Barre Leadership. And so when we finished up, of course, I fell in love with Lee immediately, first time I met her, and falling in love with the theater and seeing the great things that she's doing for the community and with the kids, the way she works with the kids. And she said when it was over, hey, I'm doing this all-female cast of Jesus Christ Superstar. Why don't you audition? So I'm like, yeah, sure, whatever. So I auditioned, and then she's like, okay, you're Judas. I'm like, yeah, sure, whatever. And then it's like, whoa. So I really got to channel my in a rock star, you know, which is so much fun. I'm having a blast with it. I'm so grateful that I have this opportunity. So, I mean, I'm kind of old to just be getting it. It's my first time doing live theater ever. So,
and you're starting off as Judas?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, if you're any indication what the rest of the cast is, this is incredible. What did you think?
It's so surreal. It's so amazing. What an experience, and what an amazing cast. She cast it perfect. It couldn't be cast any better. I love being Judas. You know, I have to cry. I get thrown on the floor twice. I fall to my knees twice. I'm climbing scaffolding. My thighs are killing me right now.
And we won't tell you what happens at the end to Judas.
Gotta go there, yeah. So it's really, you know, you gotta cry. You gotta put your whole heart and soul into it. And it's challenging, and I'm just loving it. I'm so blessed to have this opportunity. Can't thank Lee enough for putting me in this role.
When you think about all of the people that have come before and have played this role, what was your thought process when you went and you looked at the script and said, this is going to be me?
I actually started watching videos. You know, I'm watching a lot of Brandon Dixon, who played the part with John Legend on the last TV. In fact, we're emulating a lot of that one, and watched it over and over again. I started watching the 70s movie, and I was like, no, this is not it.
Oh, I love the 70s movie, though.
But, so modern day. But after watching it, and I thought, yeah, I could do this. Let's just do it. And you watch it over and over again. You prepare yourself, and then you become that character. So it takes a lot of time, a lot of energy, and a lot of effort. And with great direction of Lee, I think we're going to pull it off. Okay. Lee's got confidence. Like, she sees it from the other side, and she's just thrilled, and she's the best.
Lee, come on, and let me get back to you because of the fact that we're talking cast members. You're going up doing this performance, and you don't know that Michelle is going to come out and audition. You don't know you're going to be fortunate enough to have all of the, what did you think when you know, because the guys come out for all this.
Right.
Now, all of a sudden, I'm doing this with women. And how do I know I'm going to get the women?
Actually, it's very easy. It's easier to get women than it is to get men in live theater. Men you usually scrounge for, and you're very blessed to get two or three. So when doing a production like this, the women come out of the woodwork. Because like I said, every woman has a bucket list of somebody, some male role they want to play in their life. I know I have one. I don't know if you ever, you probably never did, Michelle, but I have a bucket list of a male role I'd love to play. What? Will I ever get the opportunity?
What?
Probably not. I would love to be the master of ceremonies in cabaret.
That would be fun.
Yes.
That would that be
is,
fun.
That is my bucket list.
Yeah, that would
but
be.
But I'll probably never get the chance because, you know, if they have the males, they're going to cast the males. They're not going to cast the females.
Well, we go back to Shakespeare's time.
Right.
Where you had to have women.
Right.
Because you didn't have the men.
Exactly.
That's the way the time, maybe times will change.
I hope so. I hope so.
Maybe times will change.
If you notice, even in the live version, though, they had some females as the apostles.
Yeah.
That sat around the table. So we're not too far off.
So we want to make sure that our audience understands you're not making a statement here.
No. Not at all.
This is just an opportunity for the women.
Yes.
To take on these amazing roles that are...
Absolutely, and to show the talent that we have in the area with our females.
But what else happens there at Phoenix?
Oh, lots of things. We have things going round the clock. Every month we put up a full-scale show. We mentor kids ages 5 all the way up to adults. We usually break them off into, of course, age ranges. But our teens and adults do, you know, full-length productions. They've tackled things like Rent, American Idiot, and all these tough shows. Mm-hmm. And we've done them with 14, 15, and 16-year-olds. Kids really step up to the plate and are challenged.
Every month?
Yes. We have a show going up pretty much every single month. Yes. Right now I'm working on 3. After this, we have coming up in May, we have 13, the musical.
Oh, that's
with our
a good
middle
one.
Teens, yeah. Trying to give them some highlight. Then in June, we have Schoolhouse Rock with our littles, aged 5 to 10. And then we'll have summer camps and all kinds of things coming up for the summer and for the rest of the year.
Now, tell us about the performance dates, the times, the information, everything for Jesus Christ Superstar.
We open April 12th through the 14th is our first weekend. Our Friday and Saturday shows are at 8 p.m. and our Sunday matinees are at 2 p.m. Then we take a break for the Easter weekend. There's no performances. But then we come back after that. April 26th to the 28th. Again, Friday and Saturday shows at 8, Sunday matinees at 2. All the tickets are $12. We are on the main street in Duryea. We're in the old Kurlanchik building.
Do you dare give us a note or two?
Well, I got the opening number of the closing number. Let's see. Heavy on their minds. Heaven on their minds. Superstar. Every time I look at you, I don't understand why you let the things you did get so out of hand.
Fill the house. Rock the house.
We can't wait.
Once again, Jesus Christ Superstar at the Phoenix Performing Arts Center. Some other things happening around the community. The King's College Sports Medicine Society holding their 15th annual Dr. James Heinz Memorial Golf Tournament, 1 o'clock Sunday, April 28th at the Sand Springs Country Club in Drums. They are raising funds to help offset the cost of attendance for students at local, regional, and national conferences to further their education. The Hops and Grapes Fest 2019 is Saturday, April 27th, 2 o'clock at St. Patrick's Parish Center in Whitehaven. Tickets are $25, and that benefits the Whitehaven Community Library.
Thanks for listening to Special Edition, a weekly look at the issues in the news and the personalities shaping the stories, a production of Intercom Communications.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.